Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the webcast. It's good to be back again. So how are you, Barry?
I'm doing wonderful, my brother. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing all right, thank you. As we were talking about just before the webcast started, 1 week today, I will be a free man.
You may want to qualify that because people are going to say, what kind of freedom is he talking about?
Yes, a week today, probably about lunchtime, I will walk out of my office for the last time as an accountant, as a partner. I shall be going back afterwards to see people and do a few odd jobs, but next Wednesday is effectively my final day on the note paper, as they say. And so next week, next Wednesday, you can turn up and we'll be party mode.
Yes, and so anybody, if you've got any ideas and how we can put form to a global a retirement party for Mark next Wednesday, let me know. You don't have to let Mark know. If you're on Facebook, message me, or because it would be fun. It would be lovely to have cake for everybody and send it around the world. I'm not sure how we do that digitally, but. But maybe we can. But maybe you might have some ideas. But it is a big deal. Mark, I know that you have been faithfully. Is it how many years in accountancy?
Well, total? It's 40 years in accountancy and 30 years with this business.
Yeah. That is a long time. And again, that is more than a career for many people. So if you guys have any ideas and how we can, do anything digitally, let me know. And I'll be in with both feet. And yeah, we'll be one way or the other. We will be celebrating next week.
This sounds very dangerous, putting it in Barry's hands.
The party planner. Of course. I've got balloons. I've got party hats here. I've got beach balls, but I'm just not sure how to kind of get it, right through the internet to you, Mark, and to everybody else. But I'm sure that we have a week to start planning. So gang, put on your party planning hats and let me know.
Thank you, Barry. So if I can just do a couple of notices at this point.
Absolutely.
First of all, the first one is just about the Father Heart UK Family Day, got coming up in 17th of April. Doing that with Richard and Nia Jones. I see actually Richard is with us on the webcast tonight. He's just put a comment. So nice to have you with us, Richard and Nia. This is just kind of just going to be a relaxed morning together where Richard and I will be in conversation together. Richard will do a session. We're going to have a virtual coffee break, where we'll do that by Zoom, where we can just chat with our friends and so on. And the two sessions will be streamed via by Facebook like this. So go to fatherheart.uk Family Day. You can sign up. You do need to register so we can send you all of the links. So that's coming up in April. And the other thing that's coming up in April and May are the next series of seminars. One series, but in two parts. It's called Embraced. And the first part I'm doing with Barry, Embracing a Childlike Heart. And that's 19th and 20th of April. And the second part I'm doing with Wynette, The Embrace of Comfort. And again, you do need to register for that. So that's at afathertoyou.com/embraced. And, the Family Day, you don't have to be in the UK for. Anyone can join. And, of course, the seminars, anyone can join. And the other thing I'd just like to mention briefly is for those of you who are in the UK, I've got a book offer on at the moment, which you can find on my website, 2 for the price of 1. So go to my website, afathertoyou.com. You'll see the book offer. And then you can just choose which 2 books you'd like and order those and they'll be dispatched. But unfortunately, I can only do that for people in the UK just because the postage is prohibitive to do it elsewhere. So that's kind of the news and so on. But one of the other things Barry and I were talking about just before we came on air, as they say, was that many of us will know the film, the movie about Team Hoyt, the father and son doing the triathlons. We've used that in a number of schools, both Barry and I. And this, the father pushing his disabled son in a wheelchair around a triathlon, tugging the boat. And, you know, through that swimming, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I remember the first time I watched it in 20 years ago, Barry was leading a school with James and Denise, and he played this video and we were all in tears. And I've used it a number of times, but last week, Dick Hoyt, the father, he passed away at the age of 80, had a heart attack in his sleep and passed away. But we just wanted to pay tribute to him and his son, really, tonight, because such an inspirational story of hope and overcoming adversity. But for us, I guess, it speaks particularly about the power of weakness being the doorway into sonship. And just the fact that the beautiful scene when they cross the finishing line, the son, who hasn't done anything, raises his hands and says, "I've done it, I've done it," you know, and it's like he's won the race. And for us, that's just a beautiful picture of what our father's like. Hey, Barry, he does all the work.
Absolutely. And it just encourage you, if you haven't watched that video, there's different versions of it available on YouTube. So if you Google, Team Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, or Dick and Rick Hoyt, that's the father and the son. You'll be able to watch it. And again, I'm with you. It was almost unfair when you play that video, the emotional response that it just, because I think, you know, in the very core of all of our beings, we know that we can relate to the son in the wheelchair, as far as, you know, we in essence are disabled in our own being, and it's the father who loves us and he is the one doing all the work. So yeah, I would encourage you, even if you are familiar with that video, you know, it might not hurt to just have a refresher and watch it again, because it is just absolutely amazing.
Part of me was thinking about playing it, you know, on the webcast this evening, but sadly there are all sorts of copyright and licensing problems that prevent us doing public videos like that. But as Barry said, I just really encourage you to watch it. I mean, I play it in every school, and you know, even in Uganda and places like that. And it, as Barry said, it's unfair because we know what's going to happen. But it gets people every time, because they see themselves being carried by their father.
Wow, so good.
So there we go. So Barry, what about you? Is there anything going on in your world? I mean, I know you're joining me for the seminars in April, but anything else going along?
Lord willing, I'll be doing an in-person school at the Catch the Virus School of Ministry in 2 weeks.
Wow.
For a week, I'll be there with my lovely wife, and provided that everything can still go on, where there is talk about another shutdown again. I mean, we're not shut down, but there is the third wave. So, but it, you know, if all things go well, I may be in person in a school. And it was the School of Ministry was the last school that I did in Toronto. We got the notice of the shutdown on the way home in our car. Wow. That it was a Friday afternoon and everything was shutting down on the Saturday. And that was that last March. So we're very much looking forward to that if that does work out. And of course, we'll be doing some online schools with them too. But that's my only in-person speaking engagement in the next while. So hopefully one of these days it'll all begin to get back to a little bit of normalcy.
I hope so. Yeah, it was a year ago last week that I escaped from Poland.
That's right. You had an adventure just to get home.
Well, we just couldn't fly from Warsaw. So we could have done, but it was just manic and very crazy. But in Poland, they had, when we started the school, they had 3 cases of the virus. And then on the Friday, they had 20. And they closed everything from midnight on Saturday. And our flights were on Sunday. So we ended up getting a train from the center of Poland to Berlin in Germany, and then getting a very expensive flight from Berlin back home. But we made it. And it was, you know, it's a story to tell. Yeah, that was just over a year ago. And we got back to our new grandson. And last week we were down celebrating his first birthday and our other grandson's 3rd birthday.
Wow.
So all good stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about tonight, Mark?
Well, it's a little bit of a mishmash. I'm going to give you all an insight into the way my crazy mind works. So I've called this being content with mystery. So, Barry, I think we probably need to be prayed for. And then I'll kick it off. And then we just wanted to have a discussion about this. But you'll see what I mean in a minute when I get going. So, Barry.
Yeah. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are in control. You know the end from the beginning. You are just resting in your peace and your joy and your love over your kids. Nothing can rock your world in the way that uncertain. You're not surprised by anything, and yet you're moved with compassion for everything and everybody on planet Earth. And Father, we tonight want to open our hearts up to you. And just as we unpack mystery and how, as believers and sons and daughters to you, how do we live with the tension of mystery in our life, in the uncertainty, in the unseen realm, in the eternal? Father, I just pray that, as you know, especially for Mark, as he unpacks what's on his heart, and then I just try to keep up. Father, we just pray that each and every one of us, Lord, that there would be a rhema word that would come, that would revelation would come to each and every one of us, that the eyes of our hearts would be open to see into the kingdom realm in a different way than we've seen up until today, because your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Your compassions never fail. So, Father, we thank you for this new opportunity as sons and daughters to gather around the world and to feast at your table. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Barry.
All right.
So, as I said a minute ago, I just want to sort of invite you into the crazy way my mind works. Because something happened over the weekend that sparked a whole lot of random thoughts, which ended up being about this whole theme of mystery. Those of us in the UK here, you will know that over the weekend we had to complete the census form, which we do every 10 years, and we had to be... we have to fill in this form. We have to, you know, so they can count us all, you know, and we have to answer a number of questions about how many cars we drive and what sort of work we do and all that sort of stuff. And if you haven't done that, of course, then you need to do your census form as soon as possible. But I was filling in my census form, and one of the questions, as you may well know, is, what religion are you? And and then it lists all the religions. Christianity was at the top. I was very, very pleased to see, and then lists all the others. And you can tick the one that you are. But my immediate reaction to that question was, you know, and I'm please excuse me. This is just the way my mind works. Okay. My immediate response to that question was, I'm not religious, you know. And part of me felt like ticking, well, I don't have a religion, you know, because religion to me means something, which I'll come on to in a few minutes. But I mean, obviously, I understand why that question's there, and I understand why they framed it that way. But my next thought, as I was looking at this census form, was, I wonder why it doesn't say, what faith are you? You know, the question was, what religion are you? And my thought was, why doesn't it say, what faith are you? Because to me, they're very different things. Faith and religion are very different. And we talk about having a faith, and we talk about living out our faith, and we talk about faith groups and, you know, the different faith groups getting together around the country and so on. And we talk about it in those terms, I think perhaps more generally or genuinely even than we might do about religion. And, you know, as I was just sort of, this got me thinking, you know, I filled in the census form, and then I was sitting down on Saturday, having done that form, and it made me start to think. And I thought to myself, why did I have such a reaction, you know, to that simple question on the form, been there every 10 years, what religion are you? And I asked myself, why did I react? And it got me thinking that faith is actually a much more descriptive word of who we are and what we believe and the journey that we are on. Somehow the word faith to me conjures up this whole sense of being on a journey. And to me, and I may be, you might think I'm spitting hairs and just playing with words, but as I say, I'm just letting you have an insight into the way my mind works. But you see, for me, faith always speaks about relationship, which of course is absolutely central for us in our walk with the Father, our walk with Jesus, and our walk with the Holy Spirit, and of course, our walk with one another. You know, relationship is right at the core of our faith. Whereas somehow when we talk about religion, what to me is at the center of that is a system, is a whole set of works, a whole program of or sequence of events of doing the right thing or behaving the right way. And in a sense, religion is very, to me, religion is very flat. Doesn't have a lot of life in it. And it doesn't conjure up to me the whole sense of relationship that is so integral in our journey with Father. And then I started to think about, okay, why is that the case? And the thing that really struck me was this word mystery, that faith brings in the whole element of mystery, the unknown, the uncertain, the unsure. And somehow there's that element of risk that is contained within faith. And you know, it struck me that we have mystery all around us. And you know, again, this is just the way my mind works, is what do we do with that mystery? Do we try and play detective and try and work it out and sort it all out, or are we content to be in the mystery and let it unfold around us and just bring that delight and enthusiasm that somehow we can only capture when we're in a mystery and something new is revealed to us? Because this is the journey that we're on. Something new being revealed to us all of the time. See, whenever we settle, whenever we become familiar, whenever we lose that sense of mystery, to me, there is a danger that we settle into religion. We settle into a program or a sequence or a routine or a pattern of good works that actually can be very, very controlled. You know, we know what works, we know how it works, we know what to do, when to do it, and we live in this very, very controlled environment that often, you know, let's be really honest about this. This controlled environment, more often than not, we actually create for ourselves. You know, I know we can be in a religious environment where we come under someone else's system of rules or structure, but very often we can create our own religion, our own set of rules, and we lose that sense of mystery and delight, that sense of adventure. See, for me, religion is about works. Faith is about relationship. Religion somehow has a certainty about it, whereas faith has this element of mystery. Religion might appear safe, but actually it's not safe at all. Faith and this journey that we're on sometimes looks as if it's very, very unsafe, but it's actually the most safe place for us to be, in the center of this mystery, because that is a place of trust and dependency on our Father. See, do we want to know the outcome all the time? You know, do we want to be safe? Do we want to know how this is going to end? Or are we caught up in this journey with the one who knows the outcome? And he reveals it to us as we go along the journey. He doesn't show us the end when we're at the beginning. And, you know, I think if he did, half of us would give up, because we would lose that sense of adventure. But he shows us, he reveals as we walk along. I remember reading John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart. And that's a book where he really captures and records for us this whole sense of life with the Father is an adventure, is a journey where we don't know the end. We have things revealed to us as we go along, and that's this whole sense of mystery and delight that we're caught up with. To me, it's like religion is the house that's built on the sand. When the storms of life come, it doesn't stand, it crashes down. But the journey of faith, this journey of mystery, is the house built on a rock that has got a solid and sure foundation. See, I think one of the ways we can react to mystery is that we're dealing with something that's hidden. We can't see it. And one of the ways we can react to that is perhaps our default way of reacting to that is to say, okay, I can't see it, so I'm going to try and work it out. I'm going to try and make it happen. I kind of going to put some structure around this, because this is that's a level of security that we're content with. And we fall back into trying to make the unseen seen through our own works or our own performance or our own striving. And that's so rooted in the orphan heart. And I was just, you know, as I said, I was just thinking about all of this, and it just struck me that a child is content with mystery. A child is content with the unseen. We were down at my daughter and son-in-law's last week for a few days, and it was on Friday, it was my 3-year-old grandson's birthday. Now, the week before, literally the week before, it had been my other grandson's first birthday. And on his first birthday, my daughter got a big helium balloon of one, and she tied it to his high chair in the kitchen. So when they came down for breakfast on his birthday, I mean, Finn, 1-year-old, didn't have a clue what was going on, but he thought this great big shiny thing was fun. But of course, Asher, who's 3, he kind of understood it. So on Finn's birthday, there's a great big helium balloon, one tied to the high chair, great fun. Asher thinks it's marvellous, and everything else. So on Friday, last Friday, it's Asher's birthday. So we're sleeping in the living room. So he comes down to see us, you know, la-di-da, you know, Mama and Punker, as he calls us, Mama and Punker. So he sees us in bed and he says, he looks around the room, no balloon, you know, and he says to his mummy, says to my daughter, where my 3 balloon? See, automatic response, Finn had one last week, I should have one this week. Where my 3 balloon, he says, where my 3 balloon? And of course, it's not hanging up. So we go into the kitchen and there's no three balloon tied to the chair. So Asher's getting a bit like, you know, and Francis says to him, well, your three balloon's not here, is it? No, where my three balloon? You know, where my three balloon? Kind of, because he expected something. And Francis said, it's not here. And she said, I want to do something. She said, I want to show you something in the garden. And so he's kind of like, what's going on? You know, little three-year-old, all of, you know, it's his birthday, and he's really excited. And we're there, of course, which is, you know, makes it even more exciting. But he hasn't got his three balloon. So Francis and Rich and us, we go into the garden, and there in the garden is his birthday present, which is for him and his brother to share. It's a trampoline, which we built on the day before when he was out of childcare. There's his trampoline in the garden. And guess what? The three balloon is tied to the trampoline. Oh, they're my three balloon. You see, ah, trampoline. You know, whose trampoline is it? You know, and suddenly this little three-year-old is completely taken up with this mystery, you know, this trampoline was not there yesterday, you know. And what he had expected was a three balloon tied to his chair, but what he got was something completely different. But he had to go on that journey, and for a few moments he didn't know what was happening because it didn't match his expectations. But yet he was led in the safety of that mystery by his mum and dad and by us into the garden, and he could see the present and his three balloon, which, of course, when we'd finished bouncing on the trampoline before breakfast, I have to tell you, we took the three balloon and we tied it to his chair while we had breakfast. But you see, he was absolutely captivated in that moment when his mum said to him, let's go into the garden. As an adult, we would question that. No, it's breakfast time. Why have we got to go into the garden? I want my first cup of coffee. I want my cooked breakfast. I, you know, but yet this little three-year-old was captivated by the mystery. He was completely secure in the love of his mum and dad. And he simply trusted and assumed that there was a very, very good reason why we had to go into the garden before breakfast. And there was. It was his three balloon and a trampoline. You see, children are caught up in the mystery of life. And that's what we lose. When we become all grown up and sophisticated and boring, we lose the mystery and the anticipation of this wonderful journey that we are called into. Next week, when I retire, I know part of what I'm going to be doing, but everything that Father has said to me over the last 12 months is mark a blank piece of paper. You know, and I am a planner, I'm a strategist, I like to know what's coming ahead. And I would, you know, I've got a few ideas, I've got a couple of ideas of things I feel I'd like to do. And Father just keeps saying, no, no, no. A blank piece of paper. Let me write on it. So I feel like this whole thing of mystery is just really kind of relevant for me, that I'm deliberately not writing on that page of how I'm going to provide certainty for the next phase of my life. I want that mystery. You see, a child is content with the not knowing, whereas we are not content with the not knowing. We like to know. We like to have it all wrapped up. And so really, I that's kind of, you know, I was filling in the census form and it kind of led me on this journey through religion and faith, but faith into mystery. And just that, don't sacrifice the mystery for a comfortable life. Don't sacrifice the mystery for having everything worked out. Don't sacrifice the mystery for apparent safety or apparent security, or, you know, don't build a box that you think you got it all worked out. Keep that sense of mystery. Keep that sense of adventure. And then on Sunday morning, so this is all buzzing around on Saturday evening. I'm writing it down, wrote a few notes. And then Sunday morning, we went to our daughter's church service online. And the pastor was speaking. And he suddenly, in the middle of his talk, he said this sentence. He said, "If we know we are loved, we can cope with the mystery." I thought, wow. If we know we're loved, we can cope with the mystery. You see, love is stronger than the unknown. See, the unknown can be a very strong pull for us. You know, what's my future going to be like? Have I going to have enough money? What's my health going to be like? Have I going to have a job? Is my car going to be okay? You know, and we live with a lot of unknowns that we try to rationalize, we try to bring answers to, we try to formulate, we try to work them out, we try to get answers for all of these unknown things in our own strength and through our own performance and through our own works. And that's just rooted in the orphan heart. And the Father says, yes, there are some unknowns in life, but my love is stronger than the unknowns. My love is stronger than the unknowns. And if you know you're loved, if we know we're loved, we can cope with the mystery of life. And so I'm just going to bring Barry back on, but this mystery really does not have to hold. And this journey, this life with mystery, there is no fear in it for us, because we hope, we trust, we believe in love. And love, yeah, is the foundation. And there is no fear in love, and there is no fear of love. So my encouragement is just very, very simple, is rediscover the mystery of this journey of faith that we walk with the Father. Barry, I'm sure you've got lots to add.
My brother, that was so good. I really appreciate you going on that journey this past weekend. I'm so amazed how we all get led in these very unique ways, right? And you just get a census, and then all of a sudden it just is like a domino effect, and this thought process comes in. It's absolutely amazing, mate. I just think it's fantastic what you shared. I say big yes and amen. Yeah, I don't know how much I can actually add to what you said. I just think that the most pressing thing the Father has in his heart for us is for us just to look at his eyes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just look at me. You know, don't get distracted. Don't get worried. You know, I just looking at Matthew 6 verse, starting at verse 25, you know, and Jesus is really, he's trying to comfort his friends, right? And it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Now, some translations say, "Take no thought for your life." Because what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food, than the, yeah, and the body more than clothes. And then he goes on to talk about the birds of the air, not sowing or reaping. They don't have strategies. They don't have 10-year plans. Yet your Father feeds them. And then it's the zinger, right? Are you of not much more value than they? And then he goes on even talking about the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin. There's no toiling. There's no self-effort. Yet your Father clothes them more than Solomon. And I just believe that in this area of mystery, in this area of the uncertainty of life, that where, you know, the truth is, Jesus said, we can't add one cubit to our stature, right? We can't make ourselves taller or shorter. If there was a way, I would have done it, believe me. And I just think, you know, if we can surrender to the love of our Father and love of God, and like you said, love just covers us. Love covers our mistakes. Love covers our anxieties and our uncertainties, and be able to enter into this amazing joy. See, because I think one of the things I think that we have a tremendous pressure in, not only in just being adults, but especially in Christian ministry, even, you know, that we feel like we have to have all the answers to every question. And you know, it's always good to search the scriptures and be able to have some biblical ideas. But, you know, more and more as I get older, the when people ask me questions that are above my pay grade, I have absolutely no problem looking them in the eye, smiling, and say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And live with the tension that that brings, right? Because oftentimes people, well, what about this? What about this? Well, you know, and they want to be, and again, as you said, you know, bringing us into the realm of religion, the realm of rules and black and white and structure, and everything is defined and managed and controlled. And I just believe that the Father wants us to be on a roller coaster ride, and it's, you know, having the time of our life, and mm-hmm. and just really being able to cast every care onto his strong shoulders. When we talked about this, when Mark shared this, the first Bible verse that came to mind, and of course, it's one that is absolutely, it's one of the kind of the theme scriptures of my life, really. And King David was known as a man after God's own heart. And of course, I believe Psalm 131 is the way that our Heavenly Father wants his kings, which is his kids, right? Where Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, you know, we are part of that kingdom that he has given us. I believe this is the way that God likes his kings to rule their kingdom. And this is Psalm 131, verse 1 and 2. It says, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. Mm-hmm. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child. Yeah. I am content." And I just believe that, you know, that for me, and again, the older I get, the more I embrace the beautiful simplicity of this. Like when there are things that I just don't understand, I don't know, I don't have the, you know, all of the theological underpinnings of every question in the universe, and just to be able to be okay with that and say, you know what, that's beyond my pay grade. I'm just going to be, you know, I'm not going to concern myself with things too wonderful for me. And I think there's a, and I know the word magic can bring up all kinds of, you know, theological objections, but I mean, children love magic. They love the mystery, the mysterious, the, you know, the rocket ships and faraway lands and fairy tales and all of those things. It just ignites something in the very core of their being that I believe just gives us the permission and the ability to dream impossible dreams and think outside boxes and be able to go to a place. And I really believe that that's what the Father's calling us as his kids to live in that realm, you know, where it says in Ephesians 3, "Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, hope for, or imagine." And, you know, and Paul was talking about being filled with the full measure of the fullness of God in the verse before that. So I think the kingdom is pretty big. There's 1 to 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe. In the Milky Way in which we live, there is 100,000 million stars. And, I mean, we live in this amazing, immeasurable, eternal cosmos that the Father is so delighted to give us. And I think the more that we are, like you're saying, is not trying to define everything. You know, like, just think about the universe. There's, you know, they have, all of the astronomers in the world, they've never, ever been able to find the end. Like, it's, they can only say the known universe because it's key, it's never, there's no end. But the human mind, we so struggle with this because we want these definitions, we want boundaries, we want certainties. And I just think that the more that you said love, when we know we're loved, it's just like, you know, I always like when I hear James Jordan say, "Between me and my big brother, we know everything." You know? And of course, that's referring to Jesus. And when we can commit that kind of simplicity of heart and to be able to not feel the pressure to have every answer and to embrace mystery of things that we don't know. There's so many things in the scriptures that there's so much mystery. Mm-hmm. And I would just rather, you know, say yay and just embrace it rather than try to, you know, carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. So I don't know. I mean, that's my little bit that to add to what you shared. But I believe that the more that we are able to rejoice in that, rather, because oftentimes if we don't have an answer, right, we can feel humbled or humiliated, you know, by people, right, because of this power system that we're in. But I think once we embrace that childlike heart and, yeah, we stop trying to even relate to one another in a way where we're trying to, you know, impress each other, you know, in a way that's see what I know. But So, yeah, it is so good, mate.
I just read out this comment that Richard's put on the Richard Jones put on the chat. He said, Nia sent this to me this morning. God is initiating movement, not institution, with absolute fluidity. Yes, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he is eternally unfolding mystery. And such enormity is an invitation to live in a place of continually expanding horizons and perceptions. And then Richard just adds, yes, we even text each other at home. But that's great, so true, Richard. Isn't it? You know, this is eternally unfolding mystery.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I just feel like it's what I want to be part of. And the thing is, it's so easy. It's so subtle and it's so easy to fall back into the old way, the safe way, which isn't really safe at all, but we think it's safe, and our perception is it's safe, and we fall back into this plateau of whatever, and then we wonder after a while, we realize something inside of our heart says, I've lost something, you know, and that, you see, because our heart always wants to pursue life. It's what our hearts were made for. Our hearts were made to pursue life. And I believe there's that yearning inside all of us for life, and we're struggling to find it. And when we find it, you know, and Jesus came that we'd have life and life in all its fullness. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we find this life, we know we've got it. It's the pearl of great price. But we can easily lose it, and we then fall back. But our heart knows we've lost something. And our heart yearns for that reconnection with life. And so my prayer, and maybe we just need to just take a few moments just praying, Barry. But, you know, my prayer is that we would be reconnected with that life-seeking heart within us. Mm. I remember when, you know, 2002, when we went to Toronto, and when we first heard James and Denise speak on the Father's love, we'd lost that sense of life in our hearts. Life had just become dull, painfully routine. You know, we were working hard. We had a young family. I was running a business. We were leading a church, and we were exhausted. And we got to the stage where we said, God still exists, but where's the life? You know, we're not seeing this life. And we went to Toronto, and the rest, as they say, is history. And I actually think, Barry, you were sitting on the front row of that conference all those years before we first met. But anyway, you know, there's something inside of our hearts that yearns for life. And you know when you've lost that connection, and you know when you've got that connection. And even I think when you've got that connection, there's a yearning for more, a yearning for deeper, and a yearning just to go on. So can we just pray? Do you want to add anything, Barry, or should we just
let's pray. That's good. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, let's just open our hearts, and let's just ask Father to rekindle that adventure, that mystery, that delight, that inquiry into the unknown.
Yeah.
Father, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Oh. Thank you, Father, for the unfolding mystery of walking with you. The joy that that brings to our hearts. The life that that brings to our hearts. The satisfaction of walking in mystery. Father, I just ask that you would rekindle that in our hearts this evening and take us deeper. Father, all of us are probably guilty of trying to work it out. All of us are probably guilty of falling back into something that we think is safe, something that is routine, something that we're comfortable with. But Father, we just don't want to stay in that place because we realize it's a place of entrapment. It's a place where we're not free. And so, Father, just gently tug at our hearts this evening. Tug at our hearts. Father, let your love just pull us into this journey of mystery and the unknown, the unknowing, the place of exploration, the place of delights, the place of just anticipation, that childlike anticipation of why am I being led into the garden before my breakfast? And then the delight and wonder of seeing a trampoline with a 3 balloon attached to it. Father, may we all have that childlike simplicity and delight.
Yes, Lord.
That we can see the trampolines that you're giving us. We can see the 3 balloons that you're giving us. We can see all these things that you're giving us, Father. That it's different, it's unknown, it's exciting, it's just life. Father, lead us deeper into that life. Lead us. Just Father, just draw us the cords of loving kindness around our heart, just pulling us towards you, away from expectation into desire. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you that, Father, that the mystery of all the ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
The simplicity of the indwelling incarnate God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And our union with Jesus has secured our union with the Trinity into this amazing, mind-boggling journey and adventure, Father.
Yeah.
And I just pray for freedom for any person who is on, who's listening to this, either live or afterwards, that feels the pressure to have all of the answers, feels the pressure to try to have everything understood and explained. Father, I just pray for the grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, just to be able to help us to cast every care upon your strong shoulders because you care for us, that we would be able to release the need to understand and to quantify and to have everything known. Father, I just pray for the beautiful ability to embrace the mystery of all of the ages, the mystery of your plan and your purpose. Father, even Jesus was so many times so intent on keeping us today, keeping us in the I am, keeping us in the now, in this moment. Don't go ahead. Don't live in the past, but don't live in the future. Live now with me because I am with you. So, Father, I just pray for the absolute grace and any preconceived ideas that we have that of what we think is even to be a competent leader. Father, I just pray that you would just free us to be just the little sons and daughters. And as Wes said, that sometimes you just invite us to come onto your lap and you let us hold your pen. Father, I love that analogy. And I just pray that we would just see that the connection that we have with the eternal, with the unseen, is far beyond anything of the natural in the seen realm.
Yeah.
And so, Father, anybody who is struggling, even in the things that we see in the natural, what we hear on the news and the things of this earth, Father, I just pray even now there would be an awakening in the very core of our being to the eternal. Your word says that you have placed eternity in our hearts. And Father, we just want to connect with the just the eternal substance of your love, that you always loved us. You're loving us in this moment, and you will always love us. And Father, I just pray that the revelation of that love will set our hearts at rest. That we'll not need to take a thought for our life. That we would be able to know that our Father knows what we need before we even ask. And that, Father, we could just spend our life seeking first your kingdom. Seeking first the things of your heart in this moment. Well, as we just trust in you with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. Thank you, Father, that you love us and you understand why we struggle. But would you just love the orphan ways out of us now in a greater measure today than yesterday?
Wow. Thank you, Dad. Wow.
Father, I just pray just a release of dreaming impossible dreams. Just help us to just dream impossible dreams and just reconnect us with the little boy or little girl inside of us that just finds it very easy to go beyond adult limitations. Oh, my goodness.
Well, folks, be free to be free. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. It was for freedom.
Oh, yeah.
And this journey is a journey of freedom. Wow. Thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate you being with us each week. And thank you for your comments. We will be back. We were talking about this before we started. We normally have a break at Easter, but we kind of feel we're on a roll. So next week we'll be meeting, and we'll be here the week after that as well. So come and join us next Wednesday, same time, same place.
And we are all bring your party hats, because we are all celebrating Mark's his last day, and we're going to be throwing a party. I don't know what that's going to look like. And I just invite anybody who has any ideas how we can share a birthday cake or a retirement cake with Mark. I'm not sure, but we'll do something next week somehow.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, there you are. This was worrying. Okay, everybody. Thanks a lot.
All right, bless you. Bye-bye.